We are slowly burning. We are standing on hot coals, standing over a low, dark flame. It is warm, and we are more than uncomfortable. Not a one of us is asking for help. We draw near the flame on our own accord. A few weeks ago, I had the worst day of my life. But before I tell you about that day, we need to take a few steps backwards to a couple weeks before that day. It was after a class on a Sunday night, and I was chit-chatting with some of my friends, or on a Wednesday night, because we don't have class anymore on Sunday nights. I was on a Wednesday night, I was chatting with some of my friends, Paul Smith and James Box, to be exact, and we were talking about anything and everything. We talked about weather, politics, governmental corruption, the usual. But eventually, in the conversation, came up James's backyard. He was telling us that he was trying to find a price for people to come and cut down the trees in his backyard. And the average quote he was getting was about $400. But he was hoping that he could find someone who would do it for $200. Stop. I am a poor college student. Paul Smith, who was standing next to me at the time, is a poor college student. So instinctively, we look at each other, and we make this agreement via telepathic link. And in unison, we turn to James and say, $200? We'll do it. So we've decided to do this, but we never actually do it. Every time we see James, we say, hey, James, we're going to head out there pretty soon and cut down those trees. That sound all right? He says, yeah, of course. Just bring some tools, and I'm ready whenever you are. But days pass, weeks go by, and we never show up. We never come. We keep saying to James, hey, we're going to head out there pretty soon. I hope you're ready. But he didn't need to be ready because we never came. Until one day, I've had enough. I want that $200. So I say to Paul, we need to get out there and cut down those trees for James and Robin. He says, you're exactly right, man. Let's do it this Thursday. So the date is set, and that dreadful day slowly approaches me, and I have no idea what is coming. In the midst of those flames, it didn't take long for me to realize God wanted more for us. There is a plan, a schedule, and an agenda. It is all laid out for us, a grand dream from the Father. Though we were far off, marching away in rebellion, God puts his mighty hands underneath our feet, and he lifts us up. So the day finally approaches, or the day finally comes, and I'm sitting at my miniature desk in the TCU classroom, having just finished another day of my internship up here at Southside, and I'm about ready to go. We're going to head off to James' house. I'm going to meet Paul there. We're going to get this work done. I pack up all my things. I have my keys in my hand. I'm about to walk out the door when I realize I don't have any tools. James asked me to bring tools, and I don't have any tools. So quickly I text Paul, hey Paul, do you have a chainsaw or an axe, something that I can use over at James' house? And he says, I was planning on borrowing something from you. Goodness. So now I have to go back to my home and get some tools. And you have to realize, I'm up here at church, just finished a day of work in my internship. I'm up at church. James lives relatively close to church. But at the time of this story, I'm living with my grandparents who live on the opposite side of Fort Worth, a 25, 30-minute drive away. So let me draw for you an imaginary map. Here's church. Maybe right here is James's house. Here's my grandparents' house. So I have to get from here to here. Here, 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 here. Okay, so I've got a ways to go. And so I'm about to rush home and get these tools. But you also have to realize I just finished work. So what time is it? It's about 5 o'clock. And what do we know is 5 o'clock? That's what we all affectionately call rush hour. So during rush hour, I have to take what is usually a 30-minute drive, and it becomes what feels like a three-day drive down the highway. Luckily, it didn't take the full 3 days, but as I'm driving, creeping down I-35, I'm snapping my fingers rapidly. I'm sitting on the edge of my seat trying to get there, and I know it doesn't take a whole lot of brain power to drive at 8 miles per hour or a whole lot of vigilance, but the entire time my mind is racing, my eyes are stretched wide open. I'm trying to get somewhere. I am here, and I'm trying to get here. Despite the maniacal efforts of rush hour, I eventually do make it back to my grandparents' house. I grab the chainsaw and the hatchet that they usually leave lying around the house. I put them in my car, and I begin my drive back. And so, on this drive back, I'm ready to go get this job done. I decide to take West Loop 820, hoping to avoid that wretched rush hour traffic on my way back towards James' house. We are slowly burning. We are standing on hot coals, standing over a low, dark flame. It is warm, and we are more than uncomfortable. Not a one of us is asking for help. We draw near the flames on our own accord. It glows, it warms, we draw just a little bit closer. We lift our hands for the warmth, but it does not please. We are slowly burning in this hot bed of coals. We know the cool, but we crawl back to the flame. But God wanted more for us. There is a plan, a schedule, and an agenda. It is all laid out for us, a grand dream from the Father. Though we were far off, marching away in rebellion, God puts his mighty hands underneath our feet, and he lifts us up. He grabs us by the collar, and he tells it to us straight. Call me a man, call me a tyrant, call me what is undue, call me whatever you like. But I desire something greater for you. God wanted more for us, a little bit more than what we had before, a little bit more this time. Between our home and the home next door, there is no investment. Between you and those you meet, there is no investment. You can't love someone if you don't invest in them. We're trying to love our neighbors, but in order to do so, we have to invest in them. We have to put some of ourselves into them. We have to give of ourselves. But there is something better for us, because what we have is temporary. We see this all throughout Scripture. Everything around me is going to be gone, because God will make it all new someday. God wants us to have more than this temporary stuff. Possessions are worthless. In just a short time, we will need them no longer. And why do we hold on so tightly to things saying that they are our own when we know that all belongs to God? The Lord wants us to transcend this obsession with physical possessions. So, I'm taking West Loop 820. It's the long way around Fort Worth. The drive is all right. It's a little long. It's a little lonely. But I'm getting there. You have to realize I was here. Here's West Loop 820. And here's where my destination is. So I'm here, 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 here. We're getting there. And as I'm going, I'm thinking, I have people I'm trying to meet. I made commitments to people. We're going to get this job done. So I'm going as quickly as I can. I'm getting a little stressed, frazzled. I like the word frazzled. I'm driving slowly down West Loop 820, quickly down West Loop 820, and I'm becoming frazzled. And so, as I go, I receive a text message, and my mom is not here. She left for Ukraine, so don't tell her. I check the text message. It says, it's Paul. I'm not going to be able to make it. I quickly pull over, and I'm over here somewhere on our imaginary map. I pull over, and I I call Paul. I'm sitting here in this gas station halfway to Weatherford. I call Paul and I say, hey, what's going on? He says, work's going long today. I'm halfway to Dallas. I'm just not going to be able to make it. Sorry about that. I say, it's no problem. Love you, bro. Bye. And so I'm a little upset, a little scared, a little angry, a little sad. All these emotions flooding around in my little body. And I'm thinking, what do I do? Well, then the answer quickly comes to me. There's $200 between this point and this point. This point, this point. So I'm halfway out to Weatherford. I get back on the road, and I'm heading back towards the box house, towards the south side area. My day is far from over. We're slowly burning. We're standing on hot coals, standing over a low, dark flame. It is warm and we are more than uncomfortable. Not a one of us is asking for help. Not a one of us is asking for help. We draw near the flame on our own accord. It glows, it warms. We draw just a little bit closer. We lift our hands for the warmth, but it does not please. We are slowly burning in this hot bed of coals. We know the cool, but we crawl back to the flame. We are ill. It is in our belly, in our lungs, in our throat, and in our brain. It stings. It pulls us back to the fire. We are sick. It is in our intestine, in our chest, and in our mind. What is wrong with us that we choose to go back to the fire? We are slowly burning. But God wanted more for us. There is a plan, a schedule, and an agenda. It is all laid out for us, a grand dream from the Father. Though we were far off, marching away in rebellion, God puts his mighty hands underneath our feet, and he lifts us up. He grabs us by the collar and tells it to us straight. Call me a man, call me a tyrant, call me what is undue. Call me whatever you like, but I desire something greater for you. God wanted more for us, a little bit more than what we had before, a little bit more this time. And what he wants is greater than what we collect in selfish pursuits and selfish gains. It is doubly more than what we receive in prostituting ourselves after the flames of desire. We are here. God wants us here. Self, others. We are so selfish. We hoard and possess and oppress. What is ours, we like to keep as ours. We hate to let people have things that belong to us, and it's not much better to let them borrow it. We hate to give up our time, because as we all know, time is money. We've forgotten how to sacrifice. We no longer know how to give of ourselves to put our lives second to the lives around us. So God has given us a direction. He states it explicitly in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. We are to put the desires of others above our own. That is what God desires of us. He knows the life on this temporary earth is worthless if we are focused on ourselves. So again, he says, put the desires of others above your own. This drive is going all right now, I guess. But I need to tell you, I'm getting pretty close to the box house. I need to tell you that I'm not a good driver. I mean it. I really mean that. I'm not a good driver. It's not that I'm just below average. I'm a bad driver. I am a menace to society and a danger to everyone on the road. So keep that in mind as we progress, because it has come time in my drive when I'm relatively close to James' house that I have to start turning on streets and choosing a direction to go, you know, like that crucial part of driving and getting places. So I'm getting close to his house, and I'm having to navigate. And so combined with this fact that I am not a good driver, is also this thing that I have horrific depth perception. And so navigating city streets is rather difficult for me. It's been easy my whole life. I used to live out, I took the highway from my house to church and to school. One street, the whole way. So actually navigating is very difficult for me. Things seem pretty bad right now, but then something else happens. And she's here this morning. My girlfriend, Lauren, she calls me. And she doesn't know what's going on right now. And she's just trying to be sweet. And she asks me, "So, Dana, how is your day?" And this is when I need to tell you, I'm talking to her. And not only am I a bad driver, not only do I have horrific depth perception, but I'm also atrocious at multitasking. These three things combined make for a very difficult situation when I'm being lost in the labyrinth streets of Southside. So I'm trying to drive. She's asking me these sweet and pleasant questions that only a kind girlfriend such as her would care about. And I am taking a wrong turn on McCart. And then she's asking me more questions, telling me about her day, and I'm getting lost on Stadium Street. And so things are not going well. But eventually, because she's so sweet, I'm having to respond to these questions, because as Christians, we know better than most the consequences of a woman scorned. So I'm having to be extra careful. But eventually, I tell her, "I love you, I need to go, I'm trying to get somewhere, and so we'll talk to you later." I wrap up the conversation, and that's it. Shortly after, I do finally arrive at James and Robin's house. I'm there, where I've been trying to get for a while. I get my weapons of tree destruction, and I head to the front door. For the last time, we are slowly burning. We are standing on hot coals, standing over a low, dark flame. It is warm, and we are more than uncomfortable. Not a one of us is asking for help. We crawl closer to the flame on our own accord. It glows, it warms, we draw just a little bit closer. We lift our hands for the warmth, but it does not please. We are slowly burning in this hot bed of coals. We know the cool, but we crawl back to the flame. We are ill. It's in our bellies, it's in our lungs, it's in our throats, it's in our brain. It stings. It pulls us back to the fire. We are sick. It is in our intestine, in our chest, and in our minds. What is wrong with us that we choose to go back to the fire? We are slowly burning. We lust for the fire, yet the fire is eating us. Our longing is perverse. We are burning in this flame of desire, yet we lust for it. It is the fire of self, our own selfish desires. We try to warm ourselves by our own pleasures, but it is a hollow flame. We are consumed by this fire of self, and it is slowly burning us alive. But God wanted more for us. There is a plan, a schedule, and an agenda. It is all laid out for us, a grand dream from the Father. Though we were far off, marching away in rebellion, God puts his mighty hands underneath our feet and he lifts us up. He grabs us by the collar and he tells it to us straight, "Call me a man, call me a tyrant, call me what is undue. Call me whatever you like, but I desire something greater for you." God wanted more for us, a little bit more than what we had before, a little bit more this time. And what he has for us is greater than what we collect in selfish pursuits and selfish gains. It is doubly more than what we receive in prostituting ourselves after the flames of our own desires. We are here God wants us here. Self, others. And by the Lord's desire, we stomp out that fire of selfishness, spit on it, and forget it. God wanted a gift for us. From his family, Abraham gave his son. From her poverty, the widow gave two mites. From his possessions, Barnabas gave his field. God wanted more for us. Our spirit is slowly dying because we can't understand how selfish we are. We don't know the meaning of generosity. There can be no contentment and joy, and there can be no fulfillment when we are self-possessed. And we rationalize all this to ourselves. We are able to rationalize not being generous. We say we are being wise. But it seems to me that wisdom with money is so heavily preached because we are rationalizing our greed with half-truths from Scripture. Wisdom is certainly a virtue, but an even greater virtue is love and giving out of that love. In John 15, God gives us an ultimate command and purpose. He gives us an ultimate gift. Like was said, God wants more for us. And we can only receive that when we learn to give of ourselves. Give of ourselves so much that we are willing to lay down our life for those around us. We are generous and sacrificial, always giving of ourselves. And so, I'm where I've been trying to get all day, all month, in fact. I'm at the box house. I have my tools in hand. I am prepared. James takes me to the back door. We walk outside into the fresh, open air, to his backyard. We're going to begin work. But then what I see, I can almost not comprehend. In front of me is a thicket. And not just any thicket. This is the thicket of legends. I'm sure when the pioneers were out on the trails, they would sit around the campfire at night and tell stories about this very thicket. The thicket is so dense. It's like Velcro. If I got too close, my hair would get caught in it. This thicket is so dense. You would think that you'd be able to snap one tree in half with your finger, but you can never get around these small trees because they are so densely packed. With James's help, I basically have to cut through a wooden block. But I am a formidable foe. And so I think this isn't going to be too hard. I begin work. I'm cutting through these trees. I'm making progress. In fact, I'm starting to feel a little bad for these trees. I am such a formidable foe. I am the dominant species. But I thought that because I found out that I was sadly mistaken. Because as I'm cutting, I start to hear this low buzzing sound. I've heard this sound before, but I can't quite place it at the time. But then I know beyond the shadow of a doubt what that buzzing sound is. My mother always told me I was the sweetest boy alive, but I never believed her till that day. More mosquitoes bit into my skin than I thought lived in Tarrant County. By the time that they were done with their savage attack, I was little more than a hollow carcass of what I am now. But I survived. I kept reminding myself, I am actually here now. I am here. $200 is within my grasp. I can get this done if I can just get this job finished. And then the heat rolls in, one thing after another. The heat is not unbearable, it's just horrible. I'm surviving, I'm making do. And I start to think to myself as I'm cutting through these trees that I feel pretty good right now. I'm helping out some friends. I was going to help out a second friend, but he wasn't there. I'm helping these people out. I'm balancing relationships, being sweet to my loving girlfriend. And I'm being generous. And I went through all this trouble today just to get this job done. I'm feeling mighty generous right now. But as I wipe the sweat off my brow, I realize that I was far from generous. Everything I had done that day was based on self, based on $200. I didn't know the meaning of the word generous. Because generosity, we don't care how things affect us. We don't care if our wallet is a little bit lighter at the end of the day. In fact, we might even leave our garage doors open when we are being generous. Love is hard. It's more difficult than we like to think. It's not enough to meet and greet people to be nice and polite to them. You have to take risks. You have to be sacrificial. You give away the things that you treasure and you prize most. There's a huge difference between telling yourself that I'd be willing to give that away. If it ever came time, I would be able to give these things away. Kind of like the rich young ruler, because there's a huge difference between thinking that you would give it away and actually giving it away. We have a problem. We are slowly burning. We are standing on hot coals, standing over a low, dark flame. It is warm and we are more than uncomfortable. We are consumed by this fire of self and it is slowly burning us alive. But there is good news. God wanted more for us. There is a plan, a schedule, and an agenda. It is all laid out for us, a grand dream from the Father. God wanted a gift for us. From his family, Abraham gave his son. From her poverty, the widow gave two mites. From his possessions, Barnabas gave his field. God wanted more for us. And in order to claim that gift, we have to lose ourselves to God. We must be willing to give our possessions at any moment. We must be willing to give up our time at any moment. We give big tips at restaurants. Our children play in the front yard. We invite neighbors over to our house. We let neighbors borrow our tools, and dare I say it, we let people borrow our car. If you don't think that you've been living this life of giving, and you want to change that, come and pray with us. The elders are about to surround the room. Come and pray with us. If you want to accept God's gift into your life, this gift that he's carved out for us, that he has had planned, scheduled, and on his agenda for so long, then come forward, be baptized, as together we stand and sing.